It's time for the Financial Cafe, airing every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on 88.7 WSIE The Sound. Today's show is underwritten by The Chef Shop, your hometown kitchen accessory store, where a good cup of coffee starts every day right. The views expressed to the Financial Cafe are those of the hosts and do not represent the views of Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, the SIU Board of Trustees, or WSIE Radio. Securities offered through Nickel Investors Corporation at No. 1 Executive Park, Granite City, Illinois, member FINRA and SIPC.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
I'd be rich.
And now, welcome to the Financial Cafe and our hosts, Larry Lexo and John Graney.
Good morning, John Graney.
Good morning, Larry Lexo. How are we doing on this fine, beautiful day?
We are doing awesome.
You know what Sunday is?
Summertime, summertime, summertime.
No.
Yeah, it is.
Well, okay. I was not expecting Mr. Lexo to start singing.
Oh, you got me started, man, you know?
I also have my daughters in the room with us today.
We have the interns.
We have Adeline and Marlena. Adeline is 6 and Marlena is 27?
12.
Oh, that's right.
My boys, unfortunately, are in the other room playing video games, so we didn't get them to come into the studio today, but that's good. We have the two girls, and we're going to have some fun today.
Mm-hmm. So girls, what are you going to tell Dad this Sunday?
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
There we go. Good practice.
All right. I like it. So I get to sleep in? Do I get to sleep in on Father's Day? No?
Wake him up at 6.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So what we're going to today is, or this show is going to be our Father's Day special.
Imagine that.
And what we have on tap is the in the market segments. Usually we talk about the stock market stuff. This time we're going to talk about important money lessons to teach our children. And then the topic of the for the show is obviously Father's Day. We're going to talk about the father absent crisis in America, and we have some information from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the National Center for Fathering, and there's some unfortunately some daunting statistics in this report. We're going to wrap it up with some fatherhood tips, some things that, you know, becoming a parent, it doesn't come with a user's manual.
No instructions, John.
There's no instructions, but there are some pretty good, some good little tips in here. So that's it. That's going to be our show. And then you pulled up some pretty funny little jokes and stories here, so we'll wrap it up.
Some of those are so appropriate.
We'll wrap it up on a positive note. Now, Larry was trying to mess with me with my age, and the first sheet that he gave me literally was smaller than the fine print that you have to read in contracts, and I could not read it, and he got a kick out of that.
You mean you can't read 4.5 point?
That's got to be smaller than
It said it was 4.5 point, but I don't know.
It's a small font to begin with.
Fortunately, I printed it, and I didn't erase it until after I printed it so I could change the font to where it was readable. So, going to be a good show today,
yes.
As always.
Larry is a father. His daughter is 36
in July.
36 in July. Wow. You are old.
Time flies.
I don't know. That's. I mean, everyone has told me, you know, when we had Declan was born and Marlena and everyone else was born, it goes by fast, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, I got 20 years, but Declan's already 13, Marlena is 12, Liam is going to be 9, Adeline is going to be 7. That's not possible.
Wow.
So it does go by fast. But as a father, and since this is the Financial Cafe, and we like to thank the Chef Shop for sponsoring. And if you're looking for some Father's Day gift ideas, the Chef Shop is the place.
That is the place. As we talked about last show, and hopefully my daughter, Christy, was listening, because with Father's Day coming up, Chef Shop is a great place to go.
Subtle. Very subtle.
Either buy gadgets, because we love gadgets. You like gadgets? Yeah, we like gadgets. Or, you know, if all else fails, some good coffee. You know, Dad, John would like the Highland Grog coffee. That's his favorite.
I got some of it right here.
I'd take, the Caramel Kiss or,
I like the Caramel Kiss.
One of the others would be just fine. Or the
Jamaican
popcorn.
Jamaican Me Crazy.
Yeah, Jamaican Me Crazy. Yeah, Diane had the shirt on that she won at the 20th anniversary yesterday. Or
I think everybody won something but me.
70 flavors of popcorn. So
70. We got some work to do.
So we do have some work to do to cover all those over the next year or so. Of course, don't forget the fudge, popcorn, fudge, coffee. What better Father's Day can you have than that? So our thanks to Bo Scott and Nancy Snyder over at the Chef Shop. They're great folks. Scott, graduate of Mass Comm here at WSIE in Edwardsville. And we're on the big board today. We're on the air board. So if we happen to go live on the air, then hey, what the heck? But we're going to try and keep it on recorded today. But go by and visit them. I know they have some sales on a big green egg. They have a lot of barbecue stuff if Dad likes to do that at Chef Shop. Located at 2320 Troy Road, Edwardsville, Illinois, 62025. Phone number 618-659-9840. Go by and visit with them because a good cup of coffee starts every day outright. And I haven't checked with them this week, John, but I'm hoping they may still have a couple of the thermal coffee mugs with WSIE and the Financial Cafe logos on them. So stop by, ask them if they have any coffee mugs left. If not, give them your name, email, information, and we'll get some more up there to them so they can pass them out and you can enjoy some of that coffee and it'll keep it warm for a long time.
Or this time of year, if you like iced coffee, it will certainly keep it cold for a long time.
We like it.
So, in the market, and I pulled up an article here, the 5 most important money lessons to teach your kids. And again, this is our Father's Day special. And ages 3 to 5, I thought this was kind of cool, and I think we actually might do this, but the lesson to teach them is you have to wait to buy something you want. I mean, there's all the cliches, patience is a virtue,
It's my money you don't have.
Right. So budgets. Instead of teaching them, just go grab a credit card, put it on credit, teaching them patience, and they have to work towards something to get something that they want. And this was here, had a create 3 jars, one labeled saving, one labeled spending, and one labeled sharing. 3
there
jars.
There we go. I like it.
And that kind of teaches the concept of, okay, take some of your money for spending, take some of your money and put it into savings for the rainy day, and then take some of the money that you have and give it to a charity or to someone who is needy or who, whatever cause you may be. I know my daughter Marlena, for her birthday in April, if someone's going to buy her a present, she said, don't buy me a present and take that money. And then her and her friend set up sort of like an account with St. Jude's and collected the money for St. Jude's.
Awesome.
She said, I don't need any presents. And so just take that and the money can go to St. Jude's for cancer research for children. So that would certainly take care of the sharing part of
it. Would
the
take
3
care
jars.
Of it. And I'm amazed, John, but it's great that so many young folks. You hear it on the news periodically, but so many young folks are taking the initiative in similarly. So I congratulate you on doing that, for sharing your, good fortune, wealth, and your family with those that are less fortunate, with St. Jude's. But they're actually sharing with others, even though they may or may not have much themselves. But that's the key, is you have to share, whatever you earn, whatever you accumulate in life, it's only good if you share it with others.
I have never seen a U-Haul truck following a funeral procession.
Yeah, well, not in these days anyway.
The Egyptians thought that you could take it with them, but that's just not the case. So we need to share our blessings with others. Ages 6 to 10. So that was a little idea for ages 3 to 5. Ages 6 to 10. You need the lesson to learn is you need to make choices about how to spend your money. And this article gives you a couple different ideas, but let's see. Include your child in some financial decisions. For instance, explain The reason I chose the generic grape juice rather than the brand name is that it costs 50 cents less and tastes the same to me. And we've had that conversation with our kids. You know, if we're in Shop and Save, we get the Essentials, which is their version. If you're buying, especially if you're buying like ibuprofen and stuff like that, it's all the same stuff. You don't need to buy the Advil brand. You can buy the knockoff brand and you're getting the same thing. And they are, you know, over time, those small little choices can add up, and that gets you more money in your savings jar or more money in your sharing jar.
Well, sometimes you don't realize, and we've been going through this lately. Diane and I were talking about yesterday. She had to prepare some fruit, a fruit dish, so to speak, for a potluck at her campus at SWIC, Southern Illinois University, or Southwestern Illinois University over in Belleville, yesterday for an all-day meeting. And she was, we were shopping over the weekend and looking at some of the local stores. I won't name a name, but they wanted almost $4 and $5 a quart for strawberries. And we were like, that's really expensive. I like strawberries, but not quite that much.
We're going to be in Michigan next week for strawberry picking
so
season.
So you can bring some back.
I'm sure we bring some back for Mr. Larry, you think?
Okay. There you go. So she went to another local store, which is known for their inexpensiveness, but fresh produce. And she had, I think she bought 4 or 5 quarts, enough for her dish, and some left over for us. And she didn't spend $6 on the whole thing.
Wow.
So, you know, she could have spent $20 for the same amount of strawberries as she did elsewhere. So it bears looking around a little bit to make sure that what you're buying is a value, so to speak, because there are a lot of prices out there and a lot of different things. So,
Larry, you will like the lesson that we can teach our 11 to 13-year-olds. What is the eighth wonder of the world?
Eighth wonder of the world. Let's see. Compounding of money.
Compound interest. Ding, ding, ding. A winner. The sooner you save, the faster your money can grow from compound interest. So what that means, folks, is your interest is earning interest is earning interest. And there are plenty of studies that show even if you delay savings by 10 years. So you can have someone who starts saving at 20, another person who starts saving at 30. That person who has started at 30 almost has to double their contribution amount to keep up with the person that started saving at 20, assuming that you want to have the same nest egg at 65. And that is a great lesson to teach our kids about the power of compound interest. At that age, I know... Marlena, you had some algebra towards the end of last year, some pre-algebra. Declan has had 2 years of pre-algebra now, and he's going into eighth grade. And compound interest is just your algebraic equation. Mm-hmm. And you can turn teaching algebra into a nice little lesson with compound interest. Our 14 to 18-year-olds, I can't believe this actually comes up here, but it says, when comparing colleges, be sure to consider how much each school would cost. And I can tell you right now, if I had to go back and attend my alma mater today, I would not be able to afford to go there.
Wow. Yeah, so I believe
that.
So
I'm glad I'm a little bit older and have gotten past that, because college has gotten expensive. And I guess at 14, yeah, it makes, because you're going to be going into high school, you got 4 years. Got to start thinking about those things, getting good grades so you can, if college is what you want to do. And I'm looking at my older daughter here. If that's what you want to do, you got to get those good grades, maybe get some scholarships.
4 or 5 years left.
And for our, and we have talked about this before on our shows, parents out there, no one will lend you money to retire. So do not feel that you have to forego, and you should not forego your retirement to put your kids through college. They can borrow money just like I borrowed money, and there are ways to get it done. But that is low on the priority list when it comes to, do I want to save for my retirement or should I put my kids through school?
Well, so many things to talk about there, John, and it's just it bears, and it'll tie into the rest of the show, in having both parents, hopefully when there's two parents, involved in training and educating the kids about the importance of finances and money. I do presentations here at on campus at WSIE at Southern Illinois University to the PRSSA group, which is a public relations society. And these are seniors now, juniors and seniors getting ready to graduate within a year or two. And I talk to them about saving money. I talk to them about credit, because many of them have no credit coming out of school, which is always a bad thing. If you want to get a car or an apartment or anything else, you've got to have decent credit. The compounding of money starting early, as John and I both talk to younger participants in retirement plans who are in their 20s and 30s. Well, you know, I have a lot of other expenses. We're saving for a house. We're paying off college debt. And that's all great, but you really do lose the power of compounding of money by not starting early. And we can show example after example after example of that. And the value, you have to really estimate the value of the college education. Is a degree from whoever, from Temple, John, really,
thank you. I appreciate
really
that.
Going to get you a better job in your particular career than a one from WSIE here at Southern Illinois University? And in many cases, it's not the case. I was talking to someone recently who's doing some contracting work for us, and his son is attending a Missouri university, and he was on a four-year scholarship for the going to school, and he was notified this summer that he was not going to be getting his scholarship money for his senior year. He was on a bowling scholarship, believe it or not, for 3 years and was approved and expected the money for his fourth year. And here we are a month or two before classes start, and he was notified that they're dropping both the men's and women's bowling programs at that particular school, and there would be no scholarship money. And, oh, by the way, good luck. So,
ow.
Yeah, ow. So you have to be prepared for the unexpected. He, you know, he and his father had evaluated it and looked at it, and, you know, obviously they're going to pay for the fourth year to get his degree, but wasn't what he had planned. So what we plan doesn't always work out the way we had hoped, but it opens up new doors.
Well, that's the whole premise of, you know, teaching early, the rainy day fund. You know, we talk about the emergency fund for families having, you know, 6 months of. I don't know if this is a bad sign or our girls are falling asleep on us, Larry. They were up late last night, so I'm going to go with that. Not that we're that entertaining that we're putting them to sleep.
Well, there are those that stay up until 4 o'clock in the morning playing.
There you know. Yes, my son got me, my oldest son got me addicted to a show on Netflix called The Flash. So I ended up doing some binge watching until 4 a.m.
Yeah.
It was just one of those ones where I get done an episode. Oh, got to see what happens.
Just one more. Oh, just one more.
Oh, my gosh, it's 4 o'clock. I got to go to
bed. Just one more. So, girls, the next time you're binge-watching something and dad and mom say, oh, it's time to go to bed, then you can say, remember when.
You didn't have to bring that up. Point that out to them.
I know. I think they had that already. You know, if you want to curl up in a corner on a floor, you can take a nap or...
So as long as it's not that boring and we're putting you to sleep, it's okay if you...
We hope not.
Yeah. So, what were you talking
kids.
About?
Kids. Saving.
Father's Day.
Power of compounding. Mm-hmm. Father's Day. So, a lot of training to be done.
Yes. Unfortunately, there is... I guess there's a saying I've heard that you need a license to go fishing or hunting, but anyone can become a dad. And
wow,
there is some truth, but I think there's a difference. You need a license to hunt or fish, but anyone can create a child. It takes someone special to become a dad, and that is something desperately our families need more than ever right now. And there are some pretty daunting statistics that I pulled up here. Now, this one from the National Center for Fathering was based on a study that was completed in 2012. And what they have here is an estimated 24.7 million children, 33%, one out of three, live absent their biological father. Of students in grades 1 through 12, 39%, 17.7 million, live in homes absent their biological father. 57.6% of black children, 31.2% of Hispanic, and 20.7% of white children are living absent their biological fathers. With when a father is absent, there's four times the greater risk of poverty, seven times more likely to become pregnant as a teen, more likely to face abuse and neglect, more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol, two times more likely to suffer obesity, two times more likely to drop out of high school, more likely to go to prison, commit a crime, two times greater risk of infant mortality, more likely to have behavioral problems, and four times greater the risk of poverty. That's some daunting, scary statistics.
That's pretty alarming, John, is what it is. So what we're saying is that fathers do serve a very, very important role in the upbringing of their kids, some more than others, certainly, but statistics bear out that with the absence of that influence, there are many, many good things that never happen. The influence, the learning. I know in my daughter's case, you know, she kind of scratches her head sometimes. And when she says or thinks about something and she goes, "Dad, get out of my head," because she's heard it so many times over the years that it has become ingrained in her. It has become part of who she is and what she does and how she goes about doing it. And it's not a bad thing. She views it finally that this is a good thing because she's learned a lot about many, many, many different subjects, having been involved in all aspects of many things in business, sports, and just life in general. And you, as a father, you always want the best for him. So, you know, you give him the best and hope that it rubs off and that things work out. But I know Diane works at SWCC in the adult ed department and working with 16 to 21-year-olds who have not gotten their high school diplomas. And it is borne out, the statistics, that the majority of the folks who have not gotten their diploma fall into that category who do not have two parents at home. You know, they're absent one or the other, and it bears out that they just, you know, they're having to go to work at 15, 16 years old to provide money to buy food to put it on the table, or they're getting into trouble in terms of school, whatever happens to be. And, you know, they're coming back. Hopefully they do get their GED because that's a calling card. Can't get into college without a GED. You can't go into military without a GED. There are many, many jobs you can't even apply for without a GED. So having the influence of one and or both parents and father's influence to get that education because it's something that is going to be necessary down the road.
And according to 72% of the U.S. population, fatherlessness is the most significant family or social problem facing America. Among children who were part of the post-war generation, 87.7% grew up with two biological parents who were married. Today, it's down to 68%. Who will spend their entire childhood in with the increasing number of premarital births and continuing high divorce rates, the proportion of children living with just one parent rose from 9.1% in 1960 to 21% in 2012.
It's a sad commentary on society today, John.
It's we started off with those numbers because, you know, if there are dads out there listening and they're not actively involved with their children, it is definitely probably one of the most challenging things I've faced. But at the same time, it's probably the most rewarding thing I've ever had happen to me. Just last night at dinner, we were laughing so hard at dinner last night, I almost spit food across the table. And just being goofy and having that memory. And my daughter's laughing, right? Both my daughters are laughing right now because we were laughing so hard. Mom was rolling her eyes at us. And
having a good time. Huh? If you get mom to roll her eyes, you know it's a good time.
She had the look going, shaking her head, watching us be goofy. And
goofy is good.
You know, this is why we plan, and this is why we do all the things to create some sort of financial independence so we have the time to truly appreciate and spend time with what is most important to us. And, you know, being a father never ends, but they do grow up fast and they do leave the house pretty quickly. And before you know it, it's all over. Adeline says she's going to stay forever with us.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, we're going to charge her rent. No. So those statistics are scary, and hopefully, you know, even if there's just one person that's listened to our show today that decides, you know, they're going to get involved. I remember one time there was I was reading an article, and I don't know if I had mentioned this before on the show, but a father had asked his daughter, what could he do to be a better dad? And he thought it was going to be, you know, some extravagant gift that we'd have to buy and everything like that. And the daughter looked at him and said, just play dolls with me. You know, it's spending time. It's doing those things that that's what they want and they need. And it makes all the difference in the world. So with that, we have here are some tips. The Awesome Dad Cheat Sheet.
If you want to be an awesome dad, listen up. Take notes. Get your pen, paper. Be ready to write.
Yep. Grab your cup of coffee.
And more importantly, then do something about it.
All right. And let's see. The first one. This is the easiest. Cherish your time with them. You know, make the routine of eating a dinner just absolutely goofy and silly. Or, you know, we're going to be going to, like I said, going to Michigan. We're going to have some quality time with the family. And what's really nice up there is there's no Wi-Fi. We will be off the grid, per se.
Disconnected.
And that'll be good.
That will be good. That's, yeah, it's awesome time, John. And prioritization of setting aside the time to just be with them, do things together. You know, it's kind of a lost art to a great extent of having a family dinner. These days, everybody's coming and going, and you never know who's going to be there. And it's there's something to be said for having, if not every night, certainly certain nights of the week that the entire family's together across the dinner table. Not to talk about anything specific, just to talk about life in general, or, you know, the successes, the failures, the trials, the tribulations, because in sharing those, we all learn, and it's very helpful to make sure that whether at home or on vacation, that we are spending that time together.
Yeah. This one here says it gets easier. I mean, I'm not sure about that, but it says others may have different experiences. I found the first couple months. Okay. Yes, it does, from the being up all night, changing diapers and so forth. That part gets easier. But there's other things that kick in that I don't think it gets easier. It just gets different. It changes. But like I said before, it's definitely the most challenging thing I've ever done. But it certainly is the most rewarding. Share responsibilities. And we actually, that was part of our chit chat last night. We're getting that chore chart sheet going for this summer. Oh, that was a big frown there.
Chore chart sheet.
Yeah.
Did you learn how to roll your eyes practicing with your mother? You don't have to answer that.
Yes, that apple landed next to that tree. She can give the look.
Uh-huh.
There
the look.
It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know you've been looked.
Oh, when Amy gives me that look, it's like, oh, turn around, go the other way.
Yeah.
Number four,
that's
love
to be.
Conquers all. And that's an easy one to remember.
That's
it's
true.
A hard one to follow through with. But love does conquer all. And as long as you hold on to that, you can get through just about anything. Kids like making decisions, letting them make their choices. The younger one, Adeline, will say, go ahead, you can go get yourself dressed. And sometimes she'll come out with some crazy looking outfits that are just stripes and polka dots. And she doesn't want me telling the story. She's giving me that sign. But
in style, you're just in style, right?
Yeah. The big trend now is two different color socks.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Mismatching socks.
I can do that.
I do it I've done it not intentionally. Look down at my socks and go, oh, I shouldn't have got dressed in the dark.
Yeah, brown and black. Oh, well. You know.
So what is, Marlene, what is the deal with the different color socks? How did that start? What's that all about?
To me, it just means good luck.
It means bringing good luck.
Good
so
luck.
You did that for the Cardinals game on Sunday, and what happened?
They won.
Awesome. Well, you better go back.
Yeah, they need some more wins.
They could use some wins.
A little patience goes a long way. That, you know, if there is one thing I could change about my personality, it would be to be more patient. I'm not I try very hard, and that's the thing about being a parent or anything in life, you're going to fail. You get up the next day, you brush yourself off, and you say, all right, I'm going to do better today, and you try your best. And when you fail and you make mistakes, you say, I'm sorry. You get the forgiveness, and you move on.
Wait, but, girls, Dad need more patience?
I think he's done much better with his patience.
Oh, good. I know we talked about that last show, so you're improving, John. So step in the right direction.
I keep trying. I keep failing, and I keep trying, and I keep plugging along. Going with that, a sense of humor is required. Absolutely.
Absolute necessity.
I was trying to discipline Liam at the dinner table last night, and he made this...
I hear funny, chuckles over there.
Some funny noise, like he was scared. And he said, the big oaf is getting angry. And then I just started laughing.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it worked.
Yeah, it worked. And then we kept giggling and kept laughing. And mommy looked at me and said, nice game face. And then all started laughing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
We did this, and we still do this, read to them and read often. That was a big, we had a rocking chair. We would rock with them in the rocking chair and read stories to them before they went to bed. My wife is very big on that, and she got me involved with that. And it ends up being a lot of fun reading the stories together. And so what are some of your fonder memories, Mr. Larry? You're quiet on
reading
this.
Reading is a lost art, I think. You know, we certainly did that a lot with Christy growing up. Played a lot of ball out in the yard, did a lot of, traveling. She, from a fairly young age, about 12 or 13, so, even think about that. She decided that she wanted to ride horses, so we ended up buying a couple of horses and over a period of time, and she took lessons, and she competed, and for 2.5 years, probably almost 3 years, started in March, pretty much the end of March every year through September, early October. Almost every weekend, we would pack up our van at that time that we had, and we'd pack up Friday night, and we'd drive to Indiana or Michigan or Ohio or wherever the next competition was, and we would get settled in Friday night. Saturday morning, we'd be up at 5 a.m., she'd be out washing and cleaning and dressing the horse and getting them ready to show. And, showing started probably between nine and 10. And she'd show until 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then we'd do it all again on Sunday. And then we'd pack up and drive home. So so we spent a lot of time together on Friday, Saturday, Sunday for years. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. It was a great time. A lot of discipline. You know, if you want to know what it's like to take care of an animal, try taking care of a horse. She's dealing with this 2,000 pound or 2,500 pound four-legged beast that she has to climb up on and make do what she wants them to do. Because she did dressage, she did jumping, she did Western, and did all kinds of things, and had a great time and still loves to ride. So that was one of the big things. And the second thing John and I have talked about multiple times when she was about 7 or 8, I want to say, is we built a pool. We put in a pool in the backyard, and that was pretty much every day during the summer, weekends certainly from spring to fall. We'd be at the pool with family, friends, had a party probably every Sunday with lots of family and friends over. So again, we did a lot of things, and we traveled together. We'd go visit her grandparents on Diane's side, moved to Florida when she was about 3 or 4, and we would go visit and spend a couple of weeks down there with them every year. So that fun drive, 15 hours to Florida. But when we got there, it was all good. Spent time at the beach and did lots of fun stuff. So we did a lot and a lot of things that learning how to take care of horses, learning how to muck the stalls. For those of you who don't know what that is, go look it up. To feed the horses, to wash the horses, to clean their hooves, to, the things that they don't do to horses to make them look good when they're showing. It's amazing. The powder that's used, the how they braid their hair.
I wouldn't know that.
It's quite involved, but You know, she was into all of it, and she was very good at it. She, you know, she took, I think she took second one year in state. And,
oh, wow.
And she did a, you know, placed in a national, couple of national competitions. And so it's an event, certainly. So
you don't look like the horse rider.
Lots of good times. I've ridden, but it's not a passion of mine. Give me a convertible anytime. You know, four wheels. There you go. You know, drop top, I'm good.
The number nine here, don't be the absent dad. We already talked about the effects of that.
Yeah, not good.
Spark their imagination. Limit TV and video games. That's very true. Learn the firm no. My children have heard no before, haven't you?
How you spell no?
N-O.
He's got it. Good for you.
This is something that the do as I say, not as I do. I used to hear that all the time. But model good behavior. And if you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. Dads out there, always treat the mother with respect. If you don't treat your wife with respect, the kids certainly won't treat their mother with respect.
Or you.
Let them be themselves. Teach them independence. Stand together with mom. There's one. So I will direct this question to Marlena. If you come and ask me if you can do something, what do I usually say?
Ask your mom.
What did your mother say? And if mom said no, then what do I usually say?
No.
If your mom said no, then you don't need to be coming asking me.
Whatever mom said goes.
Well, there is that happy wife, happy life kind of thing. But moms and dads need to stick together and be on the same page. And
it doesn't mean we always agree, but
right.
There should be an opportunity to talk about the pros and the cons, the advantages, disadvantages of doing certain things, and come to a conclusion that's in everybody's best interest.
Well, and when you're saying no, and don't say no just to say no, but when you're saying no for a reason, children like that. You know, those boundaries provide security, and they like that security. And then over time, those boundaries get wider and wider until eventually they're out of the house and they're on their own, and then you want them back. But
yeah, that's the way that works. But you know, one of the things that I've found, and again, just personal experience, is expose them to some things that they may or may not really want to learn, but you as a father may think it's important, because one of the things with Christy over the years is there would be, routine things that needed to be done, whether it's electrical wiring or sound systems or running, speakers or hooking up stereo equipment or whatever it happens to be. Is I would invite Christy to participate, sometimes willingly, sometimes less than willingly, but amazingly enough, enough of it rubbed off that she's quite competent in setting up her own stereos and stereo and doing wiring. You know, on the first home she built, we finished out the basement. We did all of the wiring in the basement, all the lighting and outlets, et cetera, ran all the wire, put in the circuit box. And I made her wire it. I taught her how to wire outlets and switches and lights and stuff. And so she knows how to do it. That doesn't mean she wants to do it, but she can. And that's the real key is, she knows what goes where and how it works. And there, I'd say there's a lot of men and women who haven't a clue. I don't like electricity at all, and they stay as far away as they can. But can save you a lot of time, a lot of money, and nevertheless, a little knowledge goes a long way.
Here's one, put their interests first. And what they're talking about here is, do you enjoy smoking? Guess what? It's not good for you and it's not good for them. And you need to be setting a good example. I guess we all kind of have not vices, but we have things that we like to do. And if it's not good for them, then we really shouldn't be doing it, which kind of goes back to the model good behavior. As your father, you're supposed to protect them. There are many ways you need to do this. Safety, child-proof your home, teach them good safety habits, set a good example with your seatbelt. All those little things that we should be doing, you need to be doing so the kids can see you doing them. This one here.
That's back to the do as I say, you know, mm-hmm. I'd rather do as I do.
Yeah,
because the seatbelt's a great example. You know, I see a lot of people driving, especially younger folks who get in a car and they don't bother to hook up a seatbelt.
Or they're texting and driving.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's just got to go. But I can cite example after example where it has saved lives and you know, just simply hooking up a seatbelt could save your life someday, you know. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of those little things that they will emulate, they will practice, they will become indoctrinated to do the things that you regularly do or that you don't do. So be careful what you ask for, you might get it.
Spend your spare time with them. Give them hugs. That's a big one. I guess
hugs are good.
The you know, certainly probably from my grandfather to my father, that generation, that was not, you know, dad's work. They came home. There wasn't a whole lot of interaction. There wasn't a whole lot of hugging. But we're big on snuggling and hugging in our house, and that is a very good thing to share with them.
That is somewhat of a generational thing. In our society today, there are just, I think, way too many sensitivities to what people can and can't do, should and shouldn't do, because simply, you know, to me, hugging is a showing of affection that you care about the person and that you're interested in them and their wants and needs. And I remember my grandparents going back, you know, several generations, that they were people who hugged. My parents certainly were. Diane's parents were not. That took some adjustment, but we can't get them to come around after some time. And I just think there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, some norms today say that that's inappropriate, and I just don't agree. So,
yeah, our society today is everyone gets offended so easily, and I don't know how we reverse all that.
One person at a time, John. One person at a time.
I hope so. Teach them self-esteem. That's a good one.
I'm going to go back to when you said earlier, the choices. You know, teach your kids to make choices, because I've run into young individuals here at the university that they seem to be reluctant, if not incapable, of making a decision. And that is not a good thing for life, because life is faced with lots of decisions every day that need to be made. They don't need to be overanalyzed or evaluated. You don't have to put it out on Facebook and say, here's my situation, what should I do? You should have the experience and the background to be able to make those decisions on your own. Because an individual going into the workforce, if you can't decide what you want to do and what order you want to do it and how you're going to accomplish it, it really is going to hinder your success at any job or any occupation. So giving kids a chance to make, you know, letting them know it's okay to make decisions. It's okay to make the wrong decision. It's also okay to acknowledge it and then to make some adjustments and change and go on from there. So decision-making is an art that I think is somewhat lost today in our society. So let them make decisions, even if it's the wrong one. They'll learn from it.
Absolutely. I agree. And, you know, with the older two, when they ask now for, you know, for something or they have a question, you know, our response is, well, what do you think? Or, you know, trying to make that transition. Because as a parent, your role is to prepare them to be able to be successful and live independently and contribute to society in a positive way, not to live their life, live your life vicariously through them or live their life for them, which I think we see a lot of and unfortunately has put us into some of the predicaments that we're in now as far as a society. So how are we doing on time, Mr.?
Well, certainly we're down to 15 minutes. 3 quarters of the way there. But I just want to say that I always pose the question when faced with a dilemma, when faced with a decision to make, one of the questions that everyone should ask themselves, what is the best outcome that can happen if I make that decision? And Conversely, what is the worst outcome? And if you're not willing or able to live with the worst outcome, you really need to think about whether or not to proceed with making that decision, because sometimes the decision works, sometimes it doesn't. And if you can't live with the adverse outcome, then it's probably not the way that you want to go. You might reevaluate and look for other possibilities, look for other choices, and make evaluations along the way. So,
yeah, we have here, this is a good one. Don't worry about being a great dad. And there is no, we're not perfect. There is no perfect dad out there. What you do is you do your best. When you make a mistake, you apologize, you say, I'm sorry, you ask for their forgiveness, and you move on. That's in any relationship, but especially with your children, that will help them learn that it's okay to make a mistake, and you need to apologize to the people and get their forgiveness so that you can move on. And that takes a lot of pressure off. I think a lot of people will avoid difficult tasks, and being a parent is very difficult. And if you are avoiding it, stop avoiding it and get in the game and know that you're going to make mistakes. I do like a lot. I hear a lot of the commercials on the radio talking about not being the perfect dad, and it's okay. Just get out there and do it. And just how wonderful it can be. And that's really all your kids are looking for. They're not looking for the perfect dad. They're just looking for someone that is going to be involved with their life, and how important that is.
Someone is going to give them a chance to be themselves and to enjoy life. And, you know, work and chores are one thing, but you have to have some time to have fun, to enjoy life. And especially with summer here now.
Enjoy yourself. It all goes by too quickly.
It does.
So, turning up, I'm getting a little picture here. Picture. You don't want to look at
picture.
Mr. Alexa? Oh, there we go.
Proof you were here.
There we go. So, Marlena, what did you think about today's topic?
I thought you guys did a good job.
Hey, more donuts for her.
More, you get another donut. Woohoo! Go ahead. You want to say something, Adam? Say it. No? Going to be shy now?
Can I say I love you?
You can say whatever you want. Go ahead. Well, not whatever you want. But we can always edit it out. What do you want to say?
I love my dad.
Oh, thank you, sweet pea.
You guys taught people a lesson.
Oh. We try. Hey, we're pretty smart, John. What happened?
I don't know. But yes,
they've been listening.
That is a financial cafe, blending good coffee with common sense financial information and information about life.
In general and specific.
Yes. Yeah. One thing I learned early on, which was good, is life is too short to make all the mistakes yourself. So learn from the mistakes of others.
Absolutely. There's lots of them out there to follow. Believe me. And don't forget to go out to our website. It's at www.thefinancialcafe.us. You can source any of the shows that we've done over the last, John, it's been 11 months now.
The week after 4th of July is when we started this a year ago.
Coming up on the 1 year anniversary, which means we have 50 or 49 or so shows out there. So if you're interested in a topic we didn't talk about today, obviously this was focused on fathers and Father's Day, and you know, a month or so ago we focused on mothers and Mother's Day, and so there's specific topics. But if you want to know more about insurance of various types, if you want to know about estate planning, you want to talk about wills, trusts, if you want to talk about asset allocation, active investing versus passive investing, you want to talk a little bit more about and see what retrospectively we had said about what's going on in the market based on the economy, based on the election, based on politics, whatever happens to be. Go find that particular show. You can download it. Doesn't cost you anything. It's free. And they're all out there except for today's show at this point, which will be out shortly, and possibly last week's. Hasn't been uploaded, but the rest of them are out there. So go take a chance. If you want to learn more about the Chef Shop, I'll tell you, a great one to do would be to pull up the 20th anniversary Chef Shop show that we did a few weeks back prior to
saying that.
I know, Chef Shop show, prior to them celebrating their 20th anniversary. and talked about all the things that a great story and great story of, you know, certainly Vicki and Joe Primrose, who founded it 20 years ago, had their baby grow and after 8 years sold it to Scott and Nancy. And you know, I don't know if it's quadrupled or, you know, it's certainly more than doubled in both scope and size over that period of time. And they have virtually anything from a gadget standpoint, from a kitchen, from barbecuing for dad and mom, obviously not to mention the candy, the fudge, the popcorn, or the coffee, although I just did. So thanks to them as an underwriter for the show here on WSIE-FM 88.7 The Sound, located on a lovely campus at Southern Illinois University in Edwardsville. As we're down to, we still have about 10 minutes, so we have a number of things to talk about, John.
That's just a great entrepreneurial story.
It is.
I mean, you have a small business that grew. I mean, it's still a small business, but it definitely grew in scope, product offering, number of employees, the impact that, I mean, it was easy to see at the 20th anniversary, all the people that showed up and the impact that it has on the community, all the amazing things that they do for the community. I mean, we talk about, you know, the three jars, sharing, giving back. Mm-hmm. I mean, they still do it as a company, and they require their employee. I mean, it's just a great little story. You could probably use that as a college study if you wanted to.
It certainly is. It's a study in entrepreneurship. You know, how do you acquire a business? How do you expand a business? What went into growth? You know, ideas that they have hatched, if you will. Some of their employees came up with them. Sometimes they did. Sometimes, you know, doing research on the industry. But they've turned them into their own. They've made it their own here in Edwardsville, you know, focused on buying local, supporting local, serving the community, certainly, and working with all aspects of that. So, you know, Father's Day's coming again. I'll mention it just in case you're listening. But great gifts for this weekend for Father's Day, for whether it's the fudge, the popcorn, the coffee, whatever it happens to be. And again, thanks to Scott and Nancy for underwriting the show. We wouldn't be here if they weren't here to help us to bring forth some financial information, hopefully a few tips, a little advice, some things you can pick up on. If you have questions about what we've talked about, you want a little more information, feel free to contact us, John at jgraney@nickelfinancial.com or Larry at lexo@nickelfinancial.com. There's also a contact us button on the website to reach us. And again, www.thefinancialcafe.us. Go out and grab the playback of the different shows that we've done over the past. John, it just doesn't seem possible that we've been on the air almost a year now.
It doesn't seem possible that they let us be on the air for a year.
Well, there is that. So. There is that. And so we've got some exciting guests coming up in July. I know, treasurer's office of the city of St. Louis?
Yes.
Is joining us. I'm going to have Terry Lammers coming on the next few weeks. He is a business valuation expert. So you want to catch that. If you own a business, you think you know what it's worth, or you don't know what it's worth, or you'd like to know what it's worth, we're going to be talking in detail about what goes into. He's a certified business valuation expert. He's dealt in hundreds of business sales and buys, and I'm excited to get Terry on to talk a little bit about that. So a lot of aspects. If there's an area of business or finance or investment, particularly, that we haven't talked about that you would like us to bring up on the air, again, send us an email, send us a phone call, whatever you want to do, and let us know as we're bringing it down the pike here down to about 6 minutes, John. So
yeah, we have,
let's see what else we have.
So did you get some of these stories? Is this from Reader's Digest? Does this look like Reader's Digest?
They might be. Yeah, they might be.
So I have one here. I'll read a couple of these, and then I'll let you read a couple. I was on my way out of the house to meet with a cantankerous client and was dreading it. Never had that happen.
No.
The look on my face must have given me away because my four-year-old daughter asked what was wrong. I'm going to meet a woman who always yells at daddy, I told her. Oh, she said, say hi to mom.
Yeah. I thought that was good.
And then the other one here, I've seen this one before. Four students walked And halfway through the American history test my father was giving at the community college. Sorry, they said, we had a flat tire. My father was an understanding man, and he said, if you could all answer just one question correctly, he would give each of them an A for the exam. They agreed. So Dad handed each one of them a piece of paper, placed the four in separate corners, and said, write down which tire was flat.
Mm-hmm. If you can tell me that, we'll give you an A. A but, for effort.
And then I'll read one more, and then I'll hand it back to you for your reading skills. Uh-huh. Let's see. I will take... On a brutally hot day, I walked past a miniature golf course and saw a dad following three small children from hole to hole. Who's winning? I shouted. I am, said one kid. Me, said another. Not me, yelled the third. Sweat dripping down his face, the dad gasped, their mother is.
Very appropriate, John. Very appropriate for Father's Day. And there were a couple more that I thought were kind of good. Let's see.
I like the test. Which one was flat?
Yeah, which one was, which tire was flat? We'll find out who, you know. So the moral of that story, John, is...
Don't lie.
Always get your story straight before you go in and talk to the professor.
Don't lie. Yeah, if you don't lie, then you never have to worry about getting your story straight.
You don't have to worry about it. This one I thought was a good one. You know, the family was viewing old slides, and one flash across the screen caught everyone's attention. My father, wearing his favorite golf shirt, was holding me at a tender age of 3 weeks. The look on his face told all. There's my prized possessions, my father said. Touched, I smiled at him as he continued. I wonder whatever happened to that golf shirt. Yeah, well, it kind of spells it all out. Did you get that one? No, okay. That's all right. That's okay. This was pretty typical. My father was complaining. Now, this is, John, have you ever been sent to the store to pick up, you know, groceries and whatnot? And had
all
a
the
list,
time. All the time.
A list, yeah. Well, evidently, some fathers are not as adept, if you will, at that as others, because in this particular...
Oh, I do a lot of wandering back and forth to get through the list.
I do that, and Diane has learned and has accepted, finally, the fact that when she sends me to store, I will get everything she wants, but I get lots of other stuff, too.
Right. Well,
The cost of going. If I'm going, then, you know...
I get what I want.
Instead of $50, I'm going to spend $100, but, you know, I get what I want, so... This particular one, my father was completely lost in the kitchen, never ate unless someone prepared a meal for him. When mother was ill, however, he volunteered to go to the supermarket, so she sent him off with a carefully numbered list of 7 items. Dad returned very shortly, very proud of himself, and proceeded to unpack the groceries. He said, honey, I got everything you had on the list. There were 7 items. I got every one. I got 1 bag of sugar, 2 dozen eggs, 3 hams, 4 boxes of detergent, 5 crackers, 6 eggplants, and 7 green peppers. And they had a very interesting meal that night, I'm sure.
I like that.
Yeah, I thought that was good. Well, you know, what do you want? Yeah, there was a list. It said get 6 of these, so I got 6 of those.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. This is a good one, too, and I can relate this to both my grandparents, who were fortunate enough to celebrate not only their 50th, but their 60th and 65th anniversaries,
wow,
believe it or not, including my parents. They did also. So this one says, on my parents' 50th anniversary, I remarked to my father that he and mom never seemed to fight. We battled, he said, but it never amounted to much. After a while, one of us always realized that I was wrong.
That goes back to the happy wife.
Happy life is so appropriate.
Mama ain't happy.
Uh-huh.
Nobody happy.
And this is the one, kids. Remember this one. Again, Dad was going shopping for Mom, and he was spending time with his kids. So, you know, plus a positive there for him. And he said, in the frozen food department of our local grocery store, I saw a man shopping with his son. As I walked by, he checked something off his list, and then he whispered, conspiratorially, good word, John, conspiratorially, to his son, you know, if we really screw this up, we'll never have to do it again.
There's a method to our
madness.
There
is a method. So we hope you enjoyed the Father's Day show. We hope that for the fathers out there, happy Father's Day. We hope it's fulfilling. You spend a little time for yourselves with the family. Enjoy it. Somebody goes to the chef shop for you, get you what you want. Just hinting, you know, and it's great to have the kids in again. So are our interns coming back anytime soon, John?
I don't know. Well, July is our kids month. So we had May for moms, June for dads, and then July will be for kids.
We can
so
do that.
Adeline wants to come back on. I think we have, and Marlena wants to come back. All of a sudden, they're awake again.
Hands up. There we go. Yeah, they're ready to go. So they're in front of the mic.
So yeah, we may have them back. I know we do have the one guest for July, and she has a program for college savings that she wishes to present and discuss. So we will have her on. We still have June to finish out, so we have a couple more a couple more Saturdays for fathers and for dads and some of the financial things that they need to be taken care of. We wrap that up, and before we know it, it's July. We'll have to have a little one-year anniversary
special. Yeah, there we go. One-year anniversary special, then kids back to school, and here we go again.
Oh, my gosh. That was not a happy face.
I know. That's not a happy face. All right, we're going to wrap it up here. WSIE-FM 887, The Sound, on the campus of Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville. The Financial Cafe. Go out and check out the website, www.thefinancialcafe.us. Feel free to download our blogs, any of the shows we've done the last year or so. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Say goodbye, John.
Goodbye, John.
You've been listening to The Financial Cafe, airing every Saturday at 9 a.m. on 88.7 WSIE The Sound. Today's show is underwritten by The Chef Shop in Edwardsville, your hometown kitchen accessory store, where a good cup of coffee starts every day right. Listeners are invited to send your questions regarding retirement, investments, or any other financial topic that may pique your interest. Send the questions to John at jgraney@nickelfinancial.com or to Larry at lexo@nickelfinancial.com. John and Larry will discuss those questions each week during their Q&A session. If you prefer, they will respond to you in private. Thanks for listening to The Financial Cafe on 88.7 WSIE The Sound.